And then at our next service, we're going to go into Mark chapter 11. We're just going to kind of continue these thoughts from our first message today. We're going to read this story about a man named blind Bartimaeus that you might know well. You might know this story well. You might not. But we're going to go in and read starting in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. That the Spirit of God would bless us, that the Spirit of God would open our eyes to truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Let's bow our hearts and minds and ask the Lord to bless our time here today. Father in heaven, we ask that you would speak to us through the Spirit of God, that we might rightly discern the word of truth, that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, even as blind Bartimaeus knew he was. Father, we pray in the name which is above every name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We started a little bit late. I know I've got 30 minutes. 3 minutes are already gone. So let's focus on the Word of God and see truth concerning the story of blind Bartimaeus this morning. Blind Bartimaeus, as you know, was blind. That's why we call him blind Bartimaeus. He could not see. But we want to emphasize the point this morning that he could see. I understand that Jesus healed him. I understand that the Lord Jesus Christ opened his eyes. But I want you to see, when we study the Gospel of Mark, particularly Mark chapter 10, we will come across men who can see with their eyes, but can't see the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the while, we see blind Bartimaeus, who cannot see with his eyes, but does know and can see through faith the truth of who Jesus Christ is. That is, in essence, Mark chapter 10. Turn with me quickly, to one verse in John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 40. John chapter 19 and verse 40. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as was the manner of the Jews to bury. Or as was the custom of the Jews to bury. The word there, the manner of the Jews, the custom of the Jews, the word there in the Greek is ethos. It means habit. It means pattern. They bound his body as was the pattern, as was the habit of the Jews, as was their custom. This word ethos is used 21 times in the New Testament, 3 times concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it says this, 3 times in the New Testament, as was Jesus Christ's pattern, as was the habit of the Lord Jesus Christ, as was his custom. 3 patterns, 3 habits of the Lord Jesus Christ, not of my mouth, Doug, but of the Spirit of God that has taught us what the patterns were or the habits were in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. We remember, don't have time to turn there, we've got 25 minutes left, but we remember in Luke chapter 4 when he took the scrolls of Isaiah there in the synagogue and he opened the scrolls. We remember that passage particularly well, but it said of him there in Luke chapter 4, I believe it's verse 16, that as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the holy day. That was the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the house of God on the holy day. It says there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the framework there, knowing the time frame there, as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that as was his custom, as was his pattern, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And here, if we can go back to Mark chapter 10, we see the third pattern of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us by the Spirit of God. Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. And he arose from there and cometh into the borders of Judea by the far side of the Jordan. And there were people resorted unto him again. And as was his pattern, as was his custom, he taught them again. You say you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say your life is like unto his. As we should be following the work, the life, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you what the Spirit of God teaches us that he did. He went to the house of God, as was his custom. He prayed, as was his pattern. And he taught the people of God. That was his custom. And yet, he wasn't able to teach the people of God in Mark chapter 10, like it says. Do you want to know why? Because the Pharisees came to him asking him a question about marriage and divorce. Guess what, folks? It's a tough issue today, and it was a hard issue 2,000 years ago. And they came to him not wanting teaching on marriage and divorce, but wanting and desiring to trip him up, to bring him a question. Could they see? Were they like blind Bartimaeus and could not see? No, they were men that could see, but they were blinded by their desire for power. They did not care if Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They had no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted him gone, so they came publicly to him to trip him up. You've got to remember that in the culture and in the time, they did not have CNN, they did not have Fox News, they did not have the Charlotte Observer, they did not have papers, they did not have political podcasts. They had to come to him to trip him up publicly, that he might say something wrong in public. They cared not whether he was the Messiah. They cared not about the people of the Lord. They cared about their power. They were men that could see but were blinded by control and blinded by power. Let us not be like them. After that, in Mark chapter 10, comes another. What a from the world standpoint, a wonderful name he has. Do you know what it is? The rich young ruler. Not the old rich ruler. Not the young poor ruler. Not the rich young peasant, but the rich young ruler. From the world standpoint, you can't get a better title than that. To be young, to be rich, and to be in authority. But this man looked the Lord Jesus Christ in the face and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus Christ gave an answer that Ben Harrell, Rudy, would not give. Jesus Christ gave an answer that the oversight here would not give. You know what Jesus Christ told this rich young ruler? What he should do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the law. Not keep the law unto salvation, but keep the law. Do you know why he pointed him to the law? So that this man might see his need. So that this young man might understand that he has a need for a Savior. Folks, if we don't first understand that we have a need for a Savior, then we don't need a Savior. He pointed him to the law so that he would see his wickedness, so that he would see his sin, so that he would see that he can't keep the law and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing he's a man in need. But he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ in the face and he said, I've kept the law from my youth. Can he see with his eyes? Absolutely. But was he blinded by his riches? Was he blinded by pride? Absolutely. He could not see. And then we go to the Lord's disciples. Studying through the book of Mark, you will see that in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, he begins to teach them something. 8 chapters and 31 verses into the Gospel of Mark, he decides, the Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly decides that now is the time that I will begin to teach. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and rise again on the third day. And Peter rebuked him. Later in Mark chapter 9, traveling again with these same disciples, he would tell them yet again. Yet again, just a chapter later, he would tell them that he was going to be rejected, that he was going to suffer many things, that he was going to die, and that on the third day he would rise again. And they still did not understand. In fact, he asked them later what they were talking about as they traveled. And they didn't want to tell the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why they didn't want to tell him? Because they were talking about who would be the greatest amongst them. In Mark chapter 10, look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. And they were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and they followed and were afraid. And he took the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, "Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes, and shall be condemned unto death, and shall be delivered deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and they shall spit upon him, and they shall kill him, and on the third day he shall arise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto the Master, saying, that thou should do for us whatever we desire." I put before you that even though these disciples had left all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they were far from where they needed to be. Their eyes were not on the moment. Their eyes were far from the truth of the moment. Jesus Christ, as it says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 32, was on his way to Jerusalem, on his way for the final week of his life, on his way to be the Passover lamb on the Passover day. And he's telling his disciples, these men that he loves, these men that he's poured his life into, what would come of him, what he would suffer and bleed and die. And James and John, the sons of thunder, these sons of Zebedee, are so far from the truth, or so far from the reality of the truth, that they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say to him, after he just said, "I'm going to suffer and bleed and die and be resurrected again on the third day, Lord, would you do something for me? Lord, we have a question for you. We have a request for you. Would you do something for me?" Look at how far these men are from where they should be, starting at the Pharisees, moving on to the rich young ruler, and even the very disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are in their own fog. And suddenly we run into a man named blind Bartimaeus, and he can't see a lick, but he knows Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Praise the Lord for eyes of faith. Forget these eyes. Forget these fleshly eyes. Praise the Lord for the eyes of faith of blind Bartimaeus, who could see the truth. And there he was as Jesus Christ was going up to Jerusalem from Jericho. If you know the topography, if you know the lay of the land, and I've read about it, I've never been there, but that Roman road leading up to Jerusalem, one way to get from Jericho to Jerusalem, up that Roman road, and there sat blind Bartimaeus. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by, he began to yell. And I'll bring it down, okay? I don't want to blow you out here. Because he said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And when they told him to be quiet, he said it even the more loud. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible says this, and I tried to emphasize this in my reading of Mark chapter 10 and verse 49, but the scripture says this, do not miss it. When he called him the son of David, when he called him by his name, the Bible says this, these four words, and Jesus stood still. Jesus Christ stood still in his tracks. Why? Because someone called him his name. When I was a child, we had these these neighborhood pools, and we would be on the swim team every summer. We would swim. I was like 40 pounds, not a piece of fat on me. It was almost torturous to get into that water, even on summer mornings. It was so cold. I had swim coaches. I thought they were adults. I thought they were leaders. I thought they were wise, older men. They were 17-year-old boys from the high school. But you know, but when you're 8 years old, you look up to them. They had a nickname for me. You know what it was? Never have I been called this since. It's not stuck with me in my adult life. Wasn't even called this in middle school, wasn't called this in high school, but when I was a child, especially in the summers, my swim coaches called me Wormwood. It was my nickname. Don't overthink it. I don't know where it came from. Don't put a biblical twist on it. They were just 17-year-old boys who saw an 8-year-old boy and called him Wormwood. That was my nickname. That was basically during the Reagan administration. That was a while ago. 2 years ago, I was in Target. I'm never in Target. 2 years ago, I was shopping. I'm never shopping. 2 years ago, I was in Greensboro with my 5 children, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and we're trying to get out of the store, and I'm trying to get out of there as quick as I can, and there's 101 different things on my mind, and there's probably a place I needed to be, and I was probably running late, and in the midst of everything, you know what I heard? Wormwood. Wormwood. Hadn't been called that name in 3 decades. No one knows me as Wormwood, but I heard my name, and it stopped me in my tracks. We know that blind Bartimaeus
believed he was the Messiah. We know that blind Bartimaeus believed that Jesus could open his eyes. We know this because he called him his name. These men know me from my youth. These men knew who he was, and they called him the Son of David, and it stopped Jesus Christ in his tracks. Praise the Lord for eyes of faith in our culture, and we are not going there, trust me. But it's a beautiful illustration. If I wore a hat, a MAGA hat, or whatever that Donald Trump is hat, that's a political statement, right? If I wore Black Lives Matter on my shirt, that's a political statement. I want you to know that with five kids, often there is a lot of noise, a tremendous amount of noise. And when we read this passage, we think to ourselves, these people told blind Bartimaeus to be quiet because they were tired of the noise. No, it was a political statement. That might not be perfect, but it certainly was a statement that divided. Because in the group, in the multitudes that were here going to Jerusalem, many thought that he was the Son of David, and many did not believe he was the Son of David. Many did not think he was the Messiah. And so they told him as he cried the loud, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." They told him to be quiet, hush your mouth. It was a statement of statements. They understood the scriptures. They remembered what it said in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and how God promised that through David the righteous one would come, whose kingdom would be set up to old to everlasting. It would never end. They understood what he was saying. And he proclaimed Jesus Christ the Messiah publicly, and they told him to shut his mouth, and he cried ever the more. 13 minutes left. Stay with me. I want to say one thing to you, not knowing your circumstances, not knowing your marriage, not knowing your finances, not knowing your children, not knowing the issues and the struggles quite possibly of your grandchildren. I simply do not know them, but I want to tell you this, and I want to share this with you. Blind Bartimaeus was there waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Blind Bartimaeus was there waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a blind beggar who had nothing. So he waited for the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler was gone. The Pharisees were gone. Do you understand? Do you remember the story about the woman with the issue of blood? She came to the Lord Jesus Christ because she didn't feel well. She came and followed the Lord Jesus Christ because she had no money. She came and followed the Lord Jesus Christ because doctors, because men couldn't help her. So in the midst of this struggle, in the midst of these problems, the reality of it is that she followed Jesus Christ because she had hope in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Blind Bartimaeus was a poor blind beggar sitting by the road hoping that the Messiah would come his way. What a wonderful place to be. We pray to the Lord, "Lord, take these trials away. Lord, take these struggles away. Lord, solve this issue and solve that issue." But the issues of blind Bartimaeus' life brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see it? The problems in blind Bartimaeus' life made him stand by the wayside and wait for Jesus Christ. And in that sense, praise the Lord for the blindness. And in that sense, praise the Lord for the woman with the issue of blood. Yes, she had problems, but those problems drove her to Jesus Christ. See it. Understand it. Praise the Lord so often for our struggles. If they turn our hearts to hope only in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in our money and not in our culture and not in our politicians and not in a piece of legislation, but in the work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, if they drive us there, praise the Lord. For these struggles are not eternal, but the gift of God and the relationship that we have to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, that is eternal. I want to share with you, as we wrap this up, in our last few minutes, I want to share with you, we often miss the cultural aspect of the scriptures. It is there and it is so important and we miss it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine us showing Peter, the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, the golden arches? Right? Lord, I know what that means, okay? The value meal, the dollar menu, I got it. I understand what that is. I like the McGriddles. That's what I like, okay? And I know that when I'm driving down the interstate and I see those golden arches, that means something to me culturally. Can you imagine what Peter would think when he saw the golden arches? He wouldn't even understand it's an M, right? I mean, he's not going to understand the English language. He's not going to get even that aspect of it. He's going to miss so much. Now, what I'm about to say, I'm going to say it slowly. I might even repeat it so that we can get it. I am not saying that the Bible says That when the Messiah comes, he's only going to open the eyes of the blind. That's the miracle that you need to wait to see. I'm not saying that. In Isaiah chapter 35, it does say that when the Messiah comes, the eyes of the blind will open. But it also says the tongue of the deaf will praise him, and the lame shall walk. It says many miracles will happen as a sign when the Messiah comes. What I am saying is culturally, and what we miss, and we do not need to miss in this passage, because it opens up the entirety of the understanding of what is actually happening here with blind Bartimaeus. Again, it is not about blind Bartimaeus. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have to understand culturally is this, and listen to me. Listen to this. It's not a biblical statement that I'm making, but in their culture, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews of that day were waiting for the Messiah to come and do one miracle. One miracle they believed in their culture. When we see one miracle happening, then we will know that then we will know that the Messiah has come. One miracle in their culture, in their eyes, would authenticate that this man is the Messiah. It is one miracle that stuck out in their minds and in their culture. That was their culture. I'm not saying it's biblical, although it is one of the things that the Old Testament scriptures talk about the Messiah doing when he comes. And that one miracle is opening the eyes of the blind. In their culture and in their day, that was the sign that when a man comes amongst you and he opens the eyes of the blind, that is the Messiah. That was their cultural understanding of scripture. They didn't always interpret the word of God correctly. They didn't always get it. They didn't have the understanding that we did. But that in their day was what they were waiting for. I can prove it to you. Do you remember? We don't have time. We've only got 7 minutes left. Do you remember when John the Baptist asked the Lord Jesus Christ through his messengers, "Are you the one, or shall we look to another?" Do you remember in Matthew chapter 11, verse 3 or 4, what came back? Do you remember what Jesus Christ sent messengers back saying? Tell John the things that you see and that you hear. Do you remember what was number one on that list? The blind see. The blind see. Do you remember in Mark chapter 2, the man, cripple, the paralytic man, when he healed that man publicly, there was no problem. No one got upset. No one questioned that Jesus Christ did it, because that was not the miracle that authenticated in that culture that he was the Messiah. No one cared. When he heals the lepers time and time and time again, when he makes the lame to walk, when he does miracle after miracle after miracle, when he solves the issue of blood with the woman with the issue of blood, no one gets upset. No one cares. Don't mean that bad, but no one says, "Is he the Messiah?" They were not waiting for those miracles. But in John chapter 9, listen to this. In John chapter 9, Jesus Christ and his disciples are walking, and they come across this man who was born blind. And his disciples ask a question that's not accurate at all. Do you know what they say? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that this man was born blind? And Jesus Christ, of course, said neither, but that the power of God might be manifested, that you might see the power of God. And we remember the story well. No one's paying attention. It's on the side street of the cities. Jesus Christ spits in clay, anoints this man's eyes. He goes, sends him to the pool of Siloam so that when he washes, he can see, and the man can see. Someone opened the eyes of the blind amongst the nation of Israel, and the Pharisees and the religious rulers cannot deal with it. They will not concede that Jesus Christ did this miracle. They will not believe that Jesus Christ did this miracle. They don't care if he had the lame to walk. They're not concerned if the leper is healed. But Jesus Christ opened the eyes of the blind, and they will not believe it. Do you know why they won't believe it, Bill? Because if they concede that Jesus Christ opened the eyes of the blind, they are saying publicly that this man is the Messiah. And that is why there is such a commotion in John chapter 9. That is why the Pharisees and the religious elite and the Sanhedrin and those that are there in John chapter 9 draw the line in the sand, and they will not let it be known. They will argue on every front and on every place that Jesus Christ did not open the eyes of the blind, because they will not believe he is the Messiah. Doesn't matter if it's true. What matters is they will hold the line there. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Quickly, Mark chapter 8. Verse 22. Look at what Jesus Christ does. And cometh to Bethsaida, verse 22 of Mark chapter 8, and coming to Bethsaida, and they bringing him a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he, that's Jesus, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. You see that? And I don't have time to go into that story. I want you to see that when Jesus Christ opened this man's eyes, he specifically took him out of town so that the eyes and the witnesses of the city would not see him open the eyes of the blind. It was not his time to reveal himself to the nation of Israel as the Messiah. You see that? He specifically took that man out of town. Was he going to open the eyes of the blind? Yes. Was he going to do it publicly? No. Because he did not want to be seen at that time as the Messiah. What did he tell his mother in John chapter 2? Woman, it is not my time. Now let's fast forward back in our last 3 or 4 minutes back to blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. This is the last week of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now is the time. No, now is not the time for us to dismiss from this meeting. No, now is not the time to go and eat quite yet. Now is the time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to show the nation of Israel that he is of the lineage and line of David, that he is their Messiah, and he is going to do a miracle publicly so that they shall see it. It is not about a trial like John chapter 9. It is not about the Pharisees saying he did or did not do it. It is not Mark chapter 8 when he took him out of town and did not let the people see. Suddenly we have multitudes going to Jerusalem. Suddenly we have multitudes going to the feast. Suddenly we have multitudes going to Jerusalem on the Holy Week, and there is multitudes of eyes, many people, and suddenly a blind man named blind Bartimaeus starts screaming, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me," and now he is going to do a miracle that the nation of Israel can see. There is going to be hundreds, maybe even thousands of witnesses to the fact that he is the Messiah, and he is going to do the miracle publicly that this culture is waiting to see, to authenticate and to prove that he is the Messiah. And blind Bartimaeus comes over to him. 2 minutes left. Stay with me. I flew into Charlotte last Friday night. 10 days ago. My father-in-law and mother-in-law picked me and my wife up, and we went over to near the airport on the other side of the interstate. It was the Cracker Barrel right there on Billy Graham. You know that Cracker Barrel? And we're walking through the parking lot, and there's a man that starts to come over to me. I don't need to tell you much about this man, but I can tell you that I knew exactly what he was going to ask me. He's going to ask me for money. And you know what he asked me for? Money. I knew what he wanted before he even asked me. You would have known the same thing. It's not that I'm wise. It's not that I'm smart. We know what it is. Blind Bartimaeus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ says to him publicly, "What would you have me to do?" "I don't know, Lord. I'd like a value meal." "I don't know, Lord. I'd like to run fast." "I don't know, Lord. Like Solomon, I'd like wisdom." No. He asked the blind man, "What shall I do for you?" Do you get this? He knows what he wants. Of course he wants his eyes to be open and see, but he wants the multitudes to know what is about to happen. He wants the confession from the blind man, "Lord, I am blind, open my eyes." He wants the nation of Israel to see the truth. He wants the nation of Israel to witness the miracle, to authenticate that he is the Messiah, and it's going to happen on the Lord Jesus Christ time. And it's going to happen where he wants it to happen. And the multitudes that are traveling to Jerusalem and the nation of Israel shall see the miracle to authenticate that he is the Messiah. And so the Lord asks him, "What do you want?" And the man says, "In the timing of the Almighty, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus Christ opens the eyes of blind Bartimaeus in front of the multitudes, in front of the nation, so that there shall be no doubt amongst any of the sons of Jacob, amongst any in the nation of Israel. The Messiah has come, and he has opened the eyes of the blind. I saw it myself. So he says to blind Bartimaeus, your faith has given you sozo. Your faith has given you salvation. This is a beautiful point. I'll end here. The point that we want to end with is Jesus Christ is doing so many things. The last week of his life, the scripture fulfilled in almost every aspect in almost every way in this last life, in this last week of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's doing so much. There is so much happening. There is even more that is going to happen. Think about what happens, his death, burial, and resurrection in the next 7 days. It is a tremendous time, like unto no other time in the history of the world. And in the midst of everything, though blind Bartimaeus and his blindness were really not about blind Bartimaeus, it was really a public showing of the nation of Israel who he was. And yet all the while, Jesus Christ loves the individual. And yet all the while, he says to blind Bartimaeus, your faith has given you sozo. Your faith has given you salvation. Many things are happening in this world today. Things are happening all over the place, and they're happening rapidly. Jesus Christ still has time for the individual, for those that come to him in faith and receive the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would bless not only our message now, but our message coming in a few moments as we go into the triumphal entry and to the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with a nation that is far from him. Lord, let it not be us that are far from you. Father, renew in us hearts that desire the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us a spiritual appetite and desire for spiritual things, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring the sacrifices, and to worship the Lord. Let it be said that we are not a people whose hearts are far from thee. And Father, if they are, revive us again. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.